welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
I know you like that. I know you like that.
All right. Welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. 40 years radioactive. This is your host, Joshua. We got your brother, Peace, Love, and Justice, Nestor, in the studio. And more importantly, we got some great guests, Deatra Martin, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and obviously Dr. Marquita Wills, our recurring mental health guest, who is just absolutely phenomenal. Before we get to Deatra and Dr. Wills, some text messages here that we're receiving. Hey there, great show. This is John and St. Pete. Hey there, great show. An idea from the caller about homeschooling. This goes back to Mrs. D's call. Maybe a cool resource for community if WMNF curated lesson plans and strategies on mentorship for parents. So, John, I think that's a very great idea. I'll go ahead and make sure that the leadership here at WMNF gets that that great thought. That's fantastic. And then another text message. I don't understand all you people who feel it's safe to send kids back to schools. Not safe. There's too many unanswered questions. What happened? Not if, but when a teacher or a student becomes infected, nobody wants to talk about these things. And then another question, I won't repeat that specific text because it was related to the last caller's Craig, comment, about language proficiency. And so, Deatra, so obviously some very passionate callers and, listeners, right? And so I said before we went to the NPR break that I wanted to get your thoughts on that many times your patients come to you after things are just exploded, right? And so even though we definitely cleared that it's never too late to seek treatment, but what are some of the indicators that your patients, people in general, should be looking out in order to seek family therapy or marriage counseling?
As I stated before, typically when someone is going to see a therapist, that means that they have probably reached their last level of patience. And so when they come there, they're coming with their problems in tow. But a lot of things to look for as it relates to family therapy, for example, is we all have families, right? I'm sure there is a pattern of behavior that you see within your family that you possibly sweep under the rug. You know it's problematic, but don't deal with it, or don't know how to deal with it. Those are signs of saying, okay, instead of us continuously having these same conversations going over and over in our family about the same situation, possibly we may need to have a third party come in to help us facilitate and navigate some of these rerun problems that we're having. I always say, if you see the same cycle of events keep happening, that's a good telltale sign that there needs to be a break in the chain. You need to do something different. When it comes to couples, I always say, don't wait for marriage problems to arise. You know, I love couples that come to me before the problems happen so they can figure out if their communication is on point or if there are snags in their communication that they need to work on. I always say, look, think of therapists as the same way you do an annual physical exam. You go to the doctor every year for an annual checkup just to make sure everything is good. So why not do the same for your mental health?
Yeah, that's a great tip, actually. Yeah, I never really thought about it that way. Yeah. And so, and Dr. Wills, what are your thoughts on making sure that, you know, people seek the treatment they need to seek?
Absolutely. I second everything that my colleague Deatra has said. You know, therapy is a great, it's fun. It actually is fun to kind of get to know yourself, get to know your family, get to know your partner. It's really the process of making what's unconscious, what we kind of do naturally and kind of think it is absolutely right, more conscious, to give you more power to think about it and make a choice instead of just running on autopilot. You've got more options and choices and can design your life sort of the way you want it to be. And so, you know, as part of my training as a psychiatrist, we were required to be in therapy And it was to be able to really understand the mutative power of the therapeutic relationship. And it really is, you know, a great modality for everyone. Again, most people do tend to get into it when there's a problem, but it's a good thing to get into if things are going well, too, just to maximize. And you may want to think about if things are going well, you know, rather than therapy, another close cousin to therapy is life coaching, which gets at some of that same stuff and helps you sort of take what's great to the next level. So, you know, there's all kinds of things across the spectrum, but, you know, therapy, life coaching, it all is a continuum of improvement of the self, improvement of the family system, of the couple system, et cetera. So don't always wait until there's a problem.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Dr. Wills. Now I do have a question for both of you, and I would love to hear from both of you about this. So there is, in the Black and Brown community, there's probably more of a negative stigma around therapy and counseling and all those other things. So it doesn't seem as accessible to certain communities, right? And I'm sure in other communities it feels very much the same. It's like this admission of there's something wrong, and I know there are a lot of people, and I'm not going to lie, including myself, that has struggled through that. Like, if therapy, it's an admission. So, yes, we will acknowledge that part, but first, can you all talk about maybe some things they can do at home to kind of alleviate some of that tension, reduce some of that before they end up in therapy, right? We don't want to say that, hey, everything's going to be frustrating and everything is going to feel like failure unless you go to therapy. But what can they do now prior to them actually going to the therapy or getting some support? What can they do in their homes now?
I love that question. Can I jump in there?
Absolutely, please.
I love, you guys know, I love talking about self-care. And I think right now we all need to be doing self-care to the max, self-care on steroids. So there's tons of things that we can be doing at home as a family to be taking care of ourselves. So it's playing games. There are, you know, fun games, discovery games, you know, that brings families closer together where you learn more about each other. Creating rituals, bedtime rituals with the family, mealtime rituals where people go around and pray together and talk about what they're grateful for the day. Create no technology, no screen zone for everybody, parents included. Put the screens away during dinner time and focus on that. Exercising together. You guys know I'm crazy about exercise because, you know, right now the stress hormone cortisol, all of us, our cortisol levels are through the roof dealing with the positive, the uncertainty, the unknown, the news, everything. So we need to do stuff to bring our cortisol levels down, exercise stuff that it gets our endorphins going. And then when you do that as a family, you bond. You're bringing your oxytocin, which is another neurotransmitter of love and bonding together. So exercising together as a family, making sure your kids are having time to run around and get all that stuff out in the backyard, you know, enjoying nature, going to a park, those sorts of things. So building those bridges within the family so that, you know, when issues do arise, there's already a resilience factor built into the family system that can take some of those humps and bumps that are coming with the stress of the situation and not create a situation where it's going to explode. I'll turn it over to you, Sorge.
Deatra.
Thank you for that, Dr. Wills.
Thank you. So from the family therapy side of it, and again, great question, with family therapy, it's designed to help families collaborate to address family problems. But if you do not have that access, the first thing I will often say is communication, communication, communication. You can never talk enough, as far as I'm concerned. The core issue of a lot of relationship issues, whether it's your family, spouse, or what have you, is the lack of communication and the power that it holds. So if a person does not have access to therapy, the main thing I would also advise is to listen to your family members. Don't shy away from expression of feelings, okay? You can create a safe space within your family dynamic if you open the family to a safe space of expression and vulnerability, right? Because a lot of times with communication, we're not really listening. We're in a dialogue more so as a competition, not actual as communication. A lot of times we're not even actually listening. We're waiting to have a rebuttal on something, you know. Are we actually listening to what the other person is saying? So if you cannot have access to a therapist and you're in a family dynamic that is seemingly dysfunctional or there's some toxicity that you're noticing, to get to the core crux of that, put it on the table. Be open. Talk to your family members or your spouse or your partner about what's really going on. Understand what communication means. That means throwing out the passive aggressiveness and actually expressing what's truly on your mind with a delivery that is respectful and that the other person will be able to receive what you're trying to implement or put out there. But opening lines of communication, active listening, being respectful in the dialogue, learning how to communicate is essential to any issue, whether you have a therapist or not.
Excellent, Deatra. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And again, I recognize that therapy is critically important. Getting counseling, especially for both parents and young people at this time, is incredibly important. But I also recognize that there are a lot of families that might not have access to the resources to get that therapy. Are there other, I'm not sure how you guys are set up, but are there other avenues where families have access to free resources that they can get access to therapy?
Absolutely. As it relates to free resources, number one, when we're talking about free resources of therapy, it's all about knowing where to start and how to research and where to go. Typically, a lot of times, and another reason why parents want kids to go back to school so much is because you would get a lot of therapeutic resources from school. Guidance counselors, free educational resources and teaching programs, the 411 informational line, the actual resource of psychologytoday.com will tell you a lot of free resources to get for mental health and therapy. The national NIMH, okay, that's the National Institute of Mental Health. If you go to that website and put in your actual zip code, it will give you a breakdown of all of the actual resources that you need, help for mental illness. In case you do not have the financial resources, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, the crisis text line, you can text hello, and someone will actually speak with you through your text message if you're in any type of crisis. There's a veterans crisis line, and any social media outlet can help you with that. But the NIMH, the National Institute of Mental Health, if you go to that website, will give you everything that you need for resources.
I've got a great one here in Tampa Bay, which is the Champions for Children. It builds stronger families in the Tampa Bay region with family education programs. They have breastfeeding programs for people who are just breastfeeding. They have programs specifically for fathers and father figures. They have programs for grade schoolers, newborns, anyone who's, you know, a new parent or a toddler. They have lots of parenting skills, resources, and so there's all kinds of classes that are free for families here in the Tampa Bay region. And I've had the pleasure of partnering with them on a couple of initiatives, and it's been great. The other great resource here in Tampa Bay is the Children's Board. So starting with those two organizations would be a great one. And also the Women's Center here has a lot of programs for families, too. that can be free. So Champions for Children here in Tampa Bay, the Children's Board here in Tampa Bay, and then also the Center for Women.
All right. And so for our listeners out there, you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. This is your host, Joshua. We got Nestor in the studio. And on the line, we have two wonderful guests, Deatra Martin, a licensed marriage and family therapist, as well as our recurring guest, Dr. Marquita Wills. We are talking about family therapy. We're talking about how the pandemic is affecting emotionally and psychologically on families and children. Especially as the anxiety of the return to school is coming up. At the top of the show, I talked about some of those dates that are coming up, and let me go ahead and repeat some of those dates for back to school. So Polk County, Sarasota, August 31st, Polk County scheduled for the 24th, Pinellas the 24th, Pasco the 24th, Manatee on the 17th, Hillsborough scheduled to return on the 24th, Highlands 17th, Hernando the 31st, Hardy the 12th, Citrus on the 20th. So those dates are all here within the next couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And so this is a very important time to have that dialogue. And so Deatra, Nestor had alluded to this, and you guys talked about this a little bit earlier, about what is the best way to have that conversation, especially more probably with the teenagers, about, you know, if the parents' decision is to not send them to school, right, and there's resistance, right? So what's the best way to have that dialogue and get the buy-in from the children that this is the best thing for their health if that's what the parent decided?
Okay, so first I want to point out that a child wants to be protected, right? And right now, children are dealing with an alternate reality just like the adults. They're watching us. Children are learning and watching from the adults. And since we're all at home together now, they're observing not only what the adults are doing in the home, but what they're saying, how we're implementing structure, what our views on this entire situation is. We're all products of our environment and, you know, how to deal with our own emotions, how to manage the anxiety and stress that will affect your kids. So if you and your child are at an impasse about what the school year is going to look like, have a transparent conversation about what your concerns are. Yes, they're going to be disappointed. They're going to be angry. There's going to be feelings of resentment. But again, that's appropriate for any child when you tell them no about something that they want to do and you have a different agenda. So it's just about letting them openly express their frustration, but be consistent about the reasons why you're choosing what you're choosing. But also, most importantly, make sure that your language is also not disparaging people who have, you know, selected an alternate choice, okay? Again, the temperance and, you know, how we're viewing things starts from home, okay? Because also another concern is that for children that are going back to school and those are choosing different avenues, we want to make sure that the children are tolerant for all of their classmates who are doing different avenues of learning right now. We don't want to increase bullying or, you know, or anything of that nature by putting stigmas out there for children who are choosing to stay home or for those who are choosing to go back to brick and mortar. There needs to be a lot of empathy and support across the board.
That's
for
right.
Everyone during this time. Okay? It's important that we reduce the stigma for all of the choices. But again, to your original question, being consistent with your child about why, you know, the choices are being made that they may not like, and understanding that your intentions are for their own good, and again, just being open about the reasoning.
Excellent. And Dr. Wills, the same question for you. And what are your thoughts if they're different than Deatra's?
They're not different from the others. Just, you know, if you're teenagers, having a good rational conversation with them about your opinion and your view, and at the end of the day, you're the parent, right? So gotta set the goals and the rules and the groundwork, and then if they sort of resist more than they should be, you know, then you gotta start thinking about you know, just that good communication that they need to have. But they should be able to settle in. And like Georgie said, know that it's coming from a place of protection. So it's just like when, you know, some people's kids got to stay out till midnight, other people had to come in at 9, 9:30. you know, at the end of the day, it's for their own good, and explaining that, I think teenagers will be able to finally get there.
Excellent, excellent. And so, Nestor, what are your parting thoughts here as we wrap up the show?
So I feel like my parting, thank you so much, Dr. Wells, and thank you, Demetra, for Deatra, thank you, for being on the show and just giving everything regarding where families are, where parents are. And I just want to recognize all the parents out there right now that are struggling in this moment. I want to recognize all the young people, even though they're probably not listening to the show, but I want to recognize all the young people right now. It is hard for everyone. It's hard for our teachers. It's hard for our administrators. It's hard for our politicians. It's hard for our parents, and it's hard for our young people. And if we could just use a little bit of grace with each other and with ourselves, every decision we make is going to have negative or positive implications depending on who you are and where you are. And I know for young people, if your parents decide to keep you at home, it is just like it was stated. It is for your protection. It is not punishment, even though it will feel like that. It is not punishment. And I'd say we just do the best we possibly can. And, you know, love and light to everybody right now during this moment, especially with schools opening up.
All right. And Dr. Wills, your parting thoughts.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Just praying for Hillsborough County, everybody associated with the school system, the janitors, the cooks, everyone. You know, we want to cover everyone during this very uncertain time.
All right, excellent. And then, Deatra, last parting words for you.
My parting words will always be, no matter what the topic is, progress, not perfection. Okay? Right now, compassion and grace for yourselves is essential and towards each other. If this pandemic has not directly affected you more than the quarantine, count your blessings, because this is not everyone's experience, but be kind to those who handle things differently. There is no rule book to any of this. So just be open to everyone and everything right now. And again, grace is essential.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Wells, and thank you, Deatra.
Yeah, this is an absolutely fantastic show. We'll definitely have both of you on again. I know, so for our listeners out there, Dr. Wells and I came to an agreement, a very good one. The first Sunday of every month is going to be a mental health show.
We need it.
We need it. Now more than ever, right? So I'm super excited to have her back as a recurring guest every month, and that's going to be fantastic. And we'll have colleagues like Deatra back on and potentially some other subjects. And so look forward back to have Dr. Wills on September the 6th, I believe. And so so Dr. Wills, Deatra, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you guys being on the phone today with us, and for, you know, providing, dropping knowledge on our listeners. This is great.
And thank you to everybody on Facebook Live for watching and listening and commenting. Thank you so much. We really appreciate, the more we can get the stuff that we're talking about, the more we can get it out, the more we'll have conversation about it, and the more we'll hopefully get to some solutions. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah. And so on a positive note, the COVID-19 confirmed cases in the state of Florida has been dropping. August 8th did have an increase, but over the course of the past week, the confirmed cases have been going down, which is a positive trend. Right before the schools are set to open, so that's good. So we'll see where we go from here. You've listened to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, 40 years radioactive. This is your host, Joshua. Thank you so much for tuning in this Sunday. Have a great one.
Peace.
Though we gotta say goodbye.